Hi, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Talk That Talk with Nisha and Bree. I'm Brittany Breon here with Nisha Lachey,
Hey.
and we're here with special guests from the DDCB show. We have E Dunn and Jay Blunt. Yay!
What's up?
They got a nice little set up there with fire going.
All right, look at that fireplace.
You got a drink. Okay, they ready to talk that talk.
We have my bro, beautiful crib. You know, this is like my second home, you know. So, you know, I try to come here and get some work in.
Okay. Well, we appreciate y'all for joining us today. So this is episode 35, right? And in this episode, we're going to talk about our authentic selves, right? Right. But before we get into that, we want to get into our hot topic of the week. Okay. So everybody knows about the coronavirus. Okay. It, you know, it did a lot for us this year. It put a stop to a lot of things, right? So another thing about the virus that I don't know if a lot of people know about, they were giving out loans to these businesses, right? Like big loans, right? So, Baby Blue from Pretty Ricky.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay. So, Baby Blue took out a loan for $23 million. Okay. Now he's on social media saying, "Pray for me, y'all. They trying to give me life." Okay. So I just want to know what, first, before I get into that, me and Nisha was going to go to that new, Millennium?
Millennium Tour. Yes. So basically, because last year it was so fun.
So basically, Baby Blue said, "Fuck us." Okay. Because he said, "I'm going to be in jail for life when y'all do go to the damn tour." Okay.
Right.
So, you know. I just want to know what y'all think about that, though. Like, what y'all think? Do you think that people should be getting life behind this?
Let me go first, bro. I said hell no, because the government has been robbing us for the whole existence. So, you know, it takes a criminal to know a criminal. So, hell no. Nobody should be getting life.
That's a lot.
You might hit your pockets up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, make a little payment plan out, let you pay this back over time. But, you know, it definitely nobody should be getting life because our government is a criminal they damn self. So how could you look down on somebody and say, "Oh, we're going to give you life. You can't steal from us. We steal from you, then." Like, so, short answer, hell.
And what about you? You done?
Well, I'm of the opinion that he shouldn't get life, but do your time, young buck. You knew what the consequences was when you did what you did.
That's true.
In life, everything, there's a choice to everything. Do your time. Should he get life? Nah. But I mean, I definitely think his time should be in line with what these white collar criminals did. You know, white collar criminals, they sit there and they steal hundreds of millions of dollars and they only get 2-3 years of probation.
Very true.
So let's keep that same energy when it comes to our people.
Come on now. All right, that's a word. Okay. What about you, Nisha Lachey? What you think?
So first of all, how do we know that it was fraudulent? Okay, because he might have been buying new outfits for the group. He might have been trying to Ricky is in business. Okay, so we don't know what he needed that money for. Now, as Donald Trump said, there's things put in place to help these people, right? If Donald Trump can pay $750 on his taxes, Baby Blue can
buy new
outfits. He can go get them some new shoes. You seen them shiny jackets on the Millennium Tour?
That shit costs money, man. You can't get that little thriller jacket they be wearing, yo. That's some money, yo. Yo, you can't. Yeah, that ain't cheap, man. It costs to look flat.
Reason why I'm on his ass is because there's legitimate businesses that I'm associated with that could have used that money. They're never coming back. And it's
that's
organizations
true.
That's criminal like that, you know, that take money away from the coffers that were set aside for the smaller businesses, you know, the mom and pop shops that we all know and love. So it's not even necessarily about the big conglomerates. I don't give a damn about a Walmart or a Target or whoever the fuck they are. It's just more about the, you know, the small businesses that are not coming back and the people who are affected by that by losing their jobs. You know, I work for meat manufacturer here in the St. Louis area. And I think we lost 6 restaurants that are not coming back. Mm. One of those restaurants had 4 different locations. So you can see how, you know, that.
But to back, you know, to go off what you said, bro, but beforehand, before COVID, man, our country didn't support small businesses. No, man.
Not at all.
So it that comes from a line way before this COVID of them never supporting small business owners and not respecting small business owners. So this kind of goes back way before COVID even came into existence. You know, they only looked out for big corporations, you know, and things such of that nature. You know, so even if people aren't out here doing fraudulent things as they're doing, you know, as far as with this, you know, using this for COVID to get more money, small businesses, I believe, would have still suffered because America never shows small businesses no love, no goddamn way. You know, so, but, you know, contrary to what my bro say, this makes it even worse with, you know, people doing this type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, I was joking with Baby Blue.
No,
No, I definitely understand what you're saying. And I'm actually glad that you made that point because we don't want to be insensitive to those that are suffering or that have lost their jobs, you know, due to this. What I will say on a serious note is that he should do the same time that someone would do for a similar crime. So I do not think he should get life for fraud where there's people that do fraudulent activities on a daily basis and sometimes just get a slap on the wrist.
Most definitely, yeah. Most definitely. Like you said, like, the you know, a lot of, you know, white people, as we, you know, just going to keep it real. Like, you know, they call it white collar crimes for a reason. You know, so
yeah,
like you said, you know, keep the same energy with our people, man. And, you know, if they're going to get probation and walk it down and get a payment plan to pay some things back to keep them free, you know, why can't we get the same thing? Why are we looked at as if we just, you know, like it's just a whole nother level when we do it, you know? Right. So, he definitely shouldn't get no life, man, you know, but, you know, yeah. You know, stay out them Thriller jackets, man. You know, I know you like your little shiny suits and shit, but they ain't worth prison, man.
Not at all.
Exactly. Brittany, what do you think?
I mean, life in prison, I feel like, damn, that's overkill. I think, you know, making the payment arrangements, maybe, you know, but life in prison, nah. I don't agree with that. So I feel like that's all we got to talk about with that hot topic. So now we want to kind of dig into we want to get to know God. But before we do that, we listened to a couple of you all's episode, right? So I'm just gonna say I listened to Mask On, Mask Off, and I listened to that, I was tuned in. I said, wait a minute, who these people? Every time I listen to y'all, it's like it never disappoints. Each episode, it's just like, oh my God. So now we gotta talk about this clown shit episode, which is the last episode. I put it on my story yesterday. Okay. I need people to listen to that. Okay. So when I was listening to the episode, I was like, no, I need the visual. I need the visual. Because when somebody was like, okay, you calling me a clown? I said, oh my God. And I need to see the visual. I just could imagine somebody like in my face, like, dude, I was like, oh my God, right? So I have a question about that. Well, before I ask that question though, I want to shout out Nikki. So Nikki is the only female that's on you all show. When I say Nikki, she holds her own, being the only female. Y'all are some tough men. It ain't easy like going against y'all, but she definitely has her opinion and she definitely speaks on it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. I'm like, why y'all agree with me? Nikki about to do.
Nikki is a tough cookie, man. Sure. And you know, that definitely was our whole reason for bringing her on. You know, just to kind of go back. You know, DDCB started around maybe 2015. You know, it was an idea, you know, brought up between me and my bro. Don is his last name. Blonde is my last name, of course. And, you know, we started out at Rise Network, where it was just the two of us. And, you know, that deal kind of ended, you know, so we kind of went independent. And we brought on two other co-hosts, which is Nikki Love and you know, my man Trey. Shout out to Trey. He just had a baby boy today too.
Congratulations.
Oh, congrats.
Had a baby boy today. That's his first kid. Kids having kids.
Oh wow.
So, you know, I always call, because he's the youngest one, so we always call him the kid. You know,
okay.
Nikki, yeah, she's tough, man. You know, she be on her shit. And, you know, we love her like a sister, man. So shout out to Nikki Love for doing a great job ever since she came on to the crew.
Yeah. So I want to know, when you all have those heated discussions, how do y'all like come back together after that? Because I would need a minute. I would need to know this damn month. I need to calm down.
Hey, you know what? It do sound like, because people come up to me all the time like, yo, do you like really hate? Because me and Nikki, if you go like back into some shows, me and Nikki, the one always clashed, you know.
We
the ones always cussing each other out and talking shit to each other. But really, when the cameras cut off, it be nothing. We go right back to that. Like, we can say fuck you. We can say fuck you all through the show, and as soon as the cameras off, we be like, hey, all right, bro, yeah. And
it's all love.
We all love it.
The main reason why we brought them on is because they're highly opinionated as we are. And they come, they have a very different perspective and outlook on life than we do. So we had to, you know, kind of diversify things. But just jumping back a little bit, like my bro said, we started in 2015. And when we were on Rise Network, great network, shout out to John McDonald.
He's actually, what's up, John?
About to launch the network again. We won't be a show on his station, but we'll be archived there.
Okay.
When we were on that station, man, we kind of ran up numbers so quick, and we had 3,000 weekly listeners. Like,
that's what's up.
And we just hit a point to where we kind of outgrew that platform, and then like the shutting, when he actually lost the station, shut down, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise for us to kind of go off and branch and do our own thing, but. We were the highest rated show in the station. And what they had, like 12 other shows?
Yeah, like 12, yeah.
And we were the highest rated station on show. So we brought it back. We brought on my bro T-Fish, my girl Nikki Love. And we just been going ever since. Just been going, being consistent. The only time we had any lengthy period of time was during COVID. Now we back and ain't nothing changed.
And
if y'all listen to that clown shit episode,
listen to that,
and if you stay to the end, the story time ain't going over.
Hey, listen,
yeah,
that story time. I was just like, that was crazy.
Yes, it was. You know, but I appreciate y'all listening to it and tuning in, man. You know, it's love.
Yeah, definitely. So let me ask y'all, because you know we've been doing podcasting now just made a year. What has been the most challenging?
Thank you.
What's been the most challenging thing for having your podcast?
Scheduling, if anything. Okay. You know, I know as far as with DDCB is a scheduling. Everybody, you know, is doing so many different things outside of the show. You know, and that I would say that's probably the most difficult thing. You know, we very creative. Shout out to our producer too. You know, Dan. You know,
Boss Man Dan.
He's the producer behind the scenes, and you know, we all put our heads together. We come up with good topics. You know, things we can always add to the show to stay fresh. You know, and things of that sort. You know, so, you know, it's just most of the scheduling, you know, you know, we try to keep our scheduling on track as much as we can because we want to stay consistent. You know,
right.
And people, you know, anytime we take a break off, I'm always getting, you know, ran up to by all people we know. Like, yo, it was the new show. Yo, we ain't heard, you know, we ain't heard y'all in a minute and things like that. So I would say that's the most difficult, you know, thing to do. And, you know, of course, your marketing gets better as you go on, always trying to reach new audiences right. and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just something you learn as you go on. So I would say that's the most difficult thing, you know, everybody just being on the same page with the schedule. But other than that, I would say it's been great. It's been a good thing ever since we relaunched and went independent and, you know, brought on Trey and Nikki. You know, it's actually been a great thing.
Okay. Okay. And what do y'all enjoy the most about podcasting?
Well, I would say just entertaining the people and being able, it's the reaction, really. It's the reaction to, you know, people, they listen to my podcast and like, man, I was a part of that story. Man, I remember that. Man, you crazy as hell. This person ain't gonna do this or you really think the Lakers gonna take it all? Like, it's an engaging conversation. And because we are, everything we do is so, like, when we talk on the phone, this is my bro. Like, my daughter, that's the godfather right there. So,
yeah.
Like, when we talking on the phone, you know, about sports or whatever case may be, I mean, that's what we doing. Like, what y'all listening to on the podcast is basically just what is going on in our group chat for DDCB. We talk in noise like this anyway, and we just brought it to the forefront and giving the people, you know, a sports and culture news from a fan's perspective, from an ordinary citizen's perspective. And it kind of worked out, but it's the reaction to it, the engagement that keeps us going.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we want to go ahead and, you know, get into our main topic. So this topic is authentic self, right? So when I hear being your authentic self, to me, that doesn't necessarily mean, I guess, happiness, because when you're being your authentic self every day, you're not going to be happy. Right?
Exactly.
Every day you're not going to be mad. Every day you're not going to be sad. Some days you just may be content. Some days you may be like, eh. So when I say by being your authentic self, for me, that just means me being real with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I guess I kind of just want to go into, like, with Nisha, I'll start with you first. What does it mean to you when you are being your authentic self?
I think it means being honest about who I am. I want to say that it took me quite a while to really figure out who I was, what I stood for, because I've always had really strong opinions, but I have had a lot of influences, whether it be in my family in church or, you know, my cousins that like to get a little ratchet, you know, but all of these different influences and knowing, hey, I enjoy this, what's okay? But trying to figure out what's okay for Tanisha without having those influences. And as you know, Brittany, I got married very young. So a lot of the decisions I made were how to make these decisions as a wife.
Yeah.
Or I knew who I was or what I wanted out of life. So I think finding yourself and then being honest about who you are and being comfortable with yourself.
Okay. And then what about you all? What do you think being your authentic self, what does that mean to you all?
Living your life without being, without taking into account other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Living your life according to what you want, right? And when I mean that, I mean it to the fullest. Like, I love my mama and my granny to death, but this is my life. They can't walk these shoes for me. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
In this life, you never get what you deserve, only what you have the leverage to negotiate. So you got to be the one to create that leverage. You got to be the one to continue to push and move forward through life. I'll be damned. I mean, of course, I'm going to take the advice of my elders. I'm going to take that into consideration. But at the end of the day, if I fall, I'm going to fall on my own sword by my own decision. I'll be damned if I fall doing something the way you want.
Come on.
That's real.
Come on.
That's how I live my life, and it's been working out good for me. I have my ups, I have my downs, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm completely happy with all the decisions that I've made.
Come on.
I may not be happy with where I am on a particular thing at the moment, mm-hmm. but knowing that I have the drive and the determination to get it to where I want to be, and that's what living is. It's the 6 inches right here in front of your face. You see what I'm saying? You gotta live that life.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Like, then what about you, Edun? I'm sorry, Jay Blunt. I'm sorry. What about you, Jay Blunt?
It's all good. It's all good. A lot of sort of similar to what my bro just said, man. But, you know, my authentic self is me trusting my own intuition. Loving, falling in love with my own common sense that God gave. You know,
we live in
a society that tries to, fit this narrative, of uncertainty, things that's not reality. And, I believe in my own common sense. I know what's reality. I know what's realistic and what's not realistic. I believe in that. I don't question myself no more. At 33 years of age, like I said, I'm proud of my mistakes. I'm proud of my right decisions. It makes me human, I'm not perfect at all, man, but I'm perfectly imperfect, and I love it. It's gotten me to where I am right now, and, that's my true authentic self, man. Don't fall, man. Don't fall. Just get your ass up. So right.
Yeah.
Every day.
Still got 2 feet, and hey, I feel like keep going, keep pushing, man. One thing I pray about all the time, I tell you, God give me my health, everything else gonna work itself out.
Yes.
That's good.
So how do you feel like you all got to that point? So Nisha, I'll ask you first. How did you get to that point where you was like, okay, you know what, this is me? What happened that made you feel like you wanted to be your authentic self?
Honestly, I mean, it's just time, because it's not that I've ever been a person that I've tried to live by other people's standards or expectations. I do what I want to do for the most part. But I feel like the older I got, the more I knew what I wanted for my life, for myself. And so knowing what I wanted, I had to determine how do I get there. So I think just really taking the time to find out what makes Tanisha, happy, what motivates me, what makes me excited, what hurts me, that, like, really just being in tune with my feelings and being in tune with myself got me to that point. And I think I'm really at a good spot to speak to it now.
Great. I like that. Yeah.
I guess for me, I kind of always did what I felt everybody else thought I should have been doing. After high school, I went to college because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Exactly.
I was working because that's what you're supposed to do. One of the things that I always say that I wish I would have done, I wish that I would have taken a year off to really decide what I want to do. And I mean, a year off from school, working, all that, and just really enjoy being a 18, 19-year-old young kid. For real. I wasn't a woman, a young kid. But instead, I felt like I kind of was just trying to do what I felt other people wanted me to do. Now, I am a mother of two. So now I really more so care about how I look in my children's eyes. Right. Mm-hmm. So everybody. Oh, and my mama. Shout out to my mama. but my mom and my children. And I remember it used to be times where I used to be like scared of what my mom thought of me. Like, am I embarrassing her? Am I, you know, cause I'm a lot, I'm extra, I'm all of that. And it's like, now my mom is one of my closest friends. I tell my mom everything, like everything. So yeah. It's like the fact that me and my mom are closer like that now, right. I care right. about what she feels or what she thinks of me rather, because mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. this is somebody who knows me inside and out. I care about what my children, how they view me, because exactly. I feel like they didn't ask to be here. So I'm yeah. always put, you know, them on a higher pedestal. But mm-hmm. I remember hearing people, you know, you younger and shit, motherfuckers would be like, I don't care what nobody think about me. I don't give a fuck right. what nobody think.
Right.
And I would be like, I care a little bit. You know what I mean? I care a little bit what they think. Now right. I can authentically say, I don't give a fuck. Okay?
nobody. And you feel it too. And you feel like, it too. You know, you mean it. You know?
I felt that in my soul. I felt that in my soul. Okay?
Right.
So I guess it's like, for me, the turning point was when I kind of went through a depression where it was just like, I felt like I was letting everybody down. And I was just like, okay, Britt, you got to take a step back. What the fuck you want to do? What do you want? What makes you?
Right.
Once right. I really started living in my truth and being happy and doing shit that made me happy and not really care about other people's opinions, because guess what? People going to talk, baby. Whether you doing what they think you should do, exactly. whether you're not doing exactly. okay, they just gonna talk. So it's like, So what's the point in getting so caught up in what other people think of you or what other people got to say? And most time, the motherfuckers that got something to say, shit stinking. You hear me? Like they out here living foul. How I should be when you ain't even, you don't even stand in the same room as me. Okay. I didn't come here to preach today.
Okay. Do your thing. We ain't stopping.
Put the Cash App up, because I'm just, I know somebody needs to hear this word. So
that's a fact. Amen.
But seriously, I just really feel like, once you really, really, really get into that mindset that you don't care about what nobody thinks about you, when I tell you, it'd be a whole new world, baby. It'd be a whole new world. You smile different. You walk different. Hell you sleep peacefully, honey. Okay?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, I remember dating some men where, you know, we'd be sleep. These niggas tossing and turning, can't sleep at night. I thought, baby, I'm in the bed with a demon. I'm in the bed with a motherfucker that ain't living. Up in here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, you know.
Right.
I'm sorry, I went a little left, but go
no,
ahead.
I want to hear that. Talk that talk.
So what about y'all? When did y'all, I guess, get to that point where y'all was like, you know what, I don't give a fuck no more?
I'm gonna keep it real. Damn near when I made
30. 30? Come on.
Yeah, damn near when I made 30. I ain't gonna even stunt. You know, my 20s, man, was just full of uncertainty.
Yeah.
I had a kid when I was 23 years old. You know what I'm saying? I had my first child at 23 years old. You know, and just still in the midst of that when I had my son. My son was the best thing that ever happened. But just in a mess of that, trying to learn how to be a father and trying to still learn myself, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would say by the time I made 30, man, that's just when I was just like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about what none of y'all think. I don't care what you think I should be doing, what you think I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
You know, that don't fucking matter to me. You know, I believe in God. I believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm right, and if you disagree with it, that's fine. I keep pushing, it's cool. I ain't losing no sleep over what you think or don't think I should be doing or whatever the case may be, and going back to what you were saying earlier in your story, like you say, things we supposed to be doing, that, you know, when y'all was talking about the clown shit episode, that was me and T-Fish, you know, that was on that, you know, that was kind of having that back and forth, you know, but, you know, piggybacking off what you said, what you're supposed to do, you know, that's kind of what I was going at. You know, we've been directed all of our lives, you know, telling people what's good for you, what you should do. Mm-hmm. And half of the time, you know, society and the powers that be in this country, we've been taking advice from devils, you know, just to keep it real. You know, these are the same people that told you, you know, the American diet, all this stuff is good for your fucking body and it's tearing your body up fucking hard. You know what I'm saying? All these unnatural and processed things. The same people that told us, eat this diet, you know, drink your milk and all this dairy ass shit that's fucking your body up, you know. So
it's the vegan man over here just to let
you know. Yeah, I am vegetarian. But I just use that as
an example. Oh, really?
Yeah, I am. you know, I'm still going strong, but that was just an example of it, you know, but yeah, man, you know, like I said, it was just later for me. I'm not going to play like, you know, I learned this shit, you know, I figured this shit out young, you know. Nah, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm 33 years old. It took me down into my 30s to kind of just let go and let God and just kind of, you know, get in tune with myself and my, you know, and, you know, find a God in myself, you know, and to just spread that light on everybody else and, you know, just to believe in me. You know, I believed in everybody else but myself, man. So
that's real.
I just finally started believing in me, man. And it's authentic. That's dope. I love it.
Yes. Well, okay. And then Eden, was your story kind of similar? Just kind of not caring no more what people thought.
My story kind of took a turn. Right after I used to care so much about what people thought of me coming up, like those middle school, high school years, and even pieces of college, until I gave people so much that I had nothing left to give.
Mm-hmm.
I took myself to that point, like to the point to where people who I gave $1,500 to help turn on their gas, right? I don't need you there for your financial support. I just need you there to be for me.
Yeah.
To help me through this time.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
So I learned real early. I think I was probably about 19 when I just didn't give a fuck. If you wasn't on my team, then it was fuck you. And I was dead serious about it.
Yeah.
It came down to a point to where if you are not in my household, I just didn't give a fuck. At that time, I only gave a fuck who I gave a fuck about, who cared about me. God, the three credit bureaus, and my mom, and my friend.
The three,
that was about it.
Yeah.
You wasn't one of them people.
That's three credit bureaus. Hey,
they definitely care.
Right. And you can add my financial institution on that.
You're about right.
I need to borrow some money.
Right.
If you didn't land on that list in that order, I really didn't give a fuck what you was talking about.
Yeah.
So once I myself was married early, had a child, 21, relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
So, and me not having that father figure, I had to learn how to do things for myself. Here I am, a fatherless child, learning to be a father.
Right.
So I didn't have time for the nonsense of the bullshit. That'll got you fucked up on sight once my child came.
Yeah.
Literally.
Facts, man.
Like the timid dude that some people knew. Like some people, he reserved until you get a man, right? Now it's just, it's on sight now that I got a child. Now that I got a wife now.
Sure.
Yeah.
But once I got more understanding of learning the way to react to things, learning to be at peace with myself, learning to be happy with what the fuck I got.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, just more developing myself, polishing myself, becoming one with God, becoming one with my wife, trying to figure out that, because that's a whole nother path, especially when you get married young, you know.
Yeah.
You don't even know who the fuck you are yet.
Mm. You know?
And you trying to figure out who you are, and then here you go merging with somebody else. And
right.
They don't know who the fuck they are, and y'all trying to be one. Y'all trying to identify, right? Sure. So, hey, with all of that other stuff going on top of raising children and all of that, we ain't got time for the bullshit.
Yeah.
Not at all. So it was literally, fuck you if you were not on my team.
Yeah.
The circle started getting real small in that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when your circles start getting smaller, and you know, only the few survive. And gratefully, I'm glad I got my brother right here. He treats my daughter like it's his own. He treats my sons like they're his own. My sister too. And
that's what's up.
Yeah. And more, I was going to say, more to your point, as far as getting married and getting into relationships young. I've now been married for 10 years, and we most recently had a conversation where we pretty much said, this is what I want. This is what I need. These are my desires. These are my expectations. Because it took us that long to get to know ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Mm, before we could really come together and, you know, tell each other what those things were. And it really, really helps in your relationship, because now you're two whole people, like you said. You already tried to become one, but now you can really do that merger a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Agreed.
Right. Congratulations on 10 years of marriage, because
yes, indeed.
A lot of people our age, man, they ain't making it to 10. As a matter of fact, the divorce rate at 45 has increased because, you know, the people's project is gone.
I made it to 10 too, but like, you know, it was staying, but I made it. You know, like you said, you still working.
Y'all
you know
can't see, I mean, my sister, but she about to pull out that blade.
Yeah, she yeah, she be on my head, but you know. Well, we here.
Okay, well, we're gonna go ahead and get into our segment, which is called Why You Lying, right?
So in this segment,
you all give us two truths and one lie, right? And we gotta guess which is which. So if y'all need time to think about it, we'll go ahead and go first. So Nisha, go ahead, give us your two truths and a lie.
Okay, so I used to play soccer. I went to Hazelwood Central, and I am now a full-time chef.
Say those again. Okay. I was choking on this liquor when you said that.
Okay. So I used to play soccer. I went to Hazelwood Central, and I am a full-time chef.
I'm gonna go with one of the obvious, and I'm gonna go with one of the not obvious, because the not obvious would be that you're a full-time chef. So I'm gonna go with you didn't play soccer.
I think she played soccer.
It's either between the soccer or Central. I'm not going.
Man, look, all my peoples went to Roosevelt and Bayshine. She just said one of them two that I'd have known off the rip. So I don't know.
And by the way, all those sound
believable.
Truthful, right, and believable. I'm just trying to really pick one. I don't know, you know, because the thing, you know, full-time chef, you'd be like, oh, you ain't a full-time chef. You know, I want to go with the obvious. So it's between the soccer Hazelwood Central, I guess.
Okay. I am not a full-time chef. I actually work in healthcare. Yeah.
Damn. See, I was trying not to be obvious and say that. Because, you know, I want to believe that my people can be whatever they choose to be. You know? So I didn't want to just go right to, you ain't no damn full-time chef, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to, you know, I don't like down talking my people like that. My people can do whatever they need, they want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brie, what about you?
Okay, let's see. So I used to have a matching grill with my ex, right? You know that song, mm-hmm. Let Me See Your Grill. Let me see your grill, right? I recently sold my car. And let's see, I was a majorette in high school.
You weren't no majorette in high school.
Is that the lie?
I think that's the lie.
I'm going to go with that one.
Was she? I don't remember.
Damn, I was a majorette in high school.
Oh, shit.
Remember that?
What? You ain't got no matching grill? You ain't got no matching grill? I know you had a matching grill.
I did. I'm about have to say,
I know you had a matching grill, but you ain't selling your car.
I did. I did have the matching grill.
We need a car out here, man, because the bus systems are horrible.
Wait a minute, no, I said that wrong. I'm sorry, that is the lie. The matching grill. He had a full grill and I just had the fangs.
You had the fangs?
I had the fangs.
Oh,
I ain't
what?
Had the whole grill. Yeah.
That's way more gangster than the grill. You had the fangs.
Hey, the fangs though.
Fangs.
I had the fangs. Look, that's
like
that
yeah.
What was it with Scrappy? Was it Scrappy? No, wait a minute, Nas, right? What was that song? Headbuster? It was like, damn, I can't even think of the damn lyric, but that used to be my little go to in my head when I had my fangs. I'm the beast for the east with the fangs on my teeth.
I'm not gonna hear it out in the middle of the street. Okay.
You know, that's my hair right there. We just
right. So what about y'all? Sure. What's y'all two truths and a lie?
Okay. This one I'll make kind of simple. I sing, I rap, and I dance.
Okay. The lie is sing.
The lie is rap.
No, it's dance. I don't dance.
This nigga definitely don't. This nigga definitely don't dance.
I definitely don't dance. No.
Let me sing a Millie Rock real quick.
Right.
Nah.
What's my two truths and a lie? Let me see. I drink whiskey. I'll rap, and I once tried out for the Chicago Bulls.
Shit.
The Chicago Bulls is the lie.
Damn, I can't try out for the Chicago Bulls?
Hey, you can't tell them that you drink whiskey with the whiskey on the table. Hey, that's the truth.
I gave
them
my hint.
They know
I drink whiskey. That was one of the truth. But hey, why can't I try out for the Chicago Bulls?
We shut out.
What's wrong with that? What's
because
wrong with trying out for the-
y'all in St. Louis. If we was in Chicago, I would have believed it.
Well, no. Honestly, y'all don't know this. I'm from Chicago.
Yes, he is.
Really?
Yeah, see? See, I'm from Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So being a native from Chicago and living now in St. Louis, right? You
yes.
live in St. Louis. Okay.
Yes,
do you
yes.
feel like the crime rate is the same, different? Chicago worse, St. Louis worse? What you think?
Honestly, I mean, the crime rate is different because St. Louis is a smaller city. So, you know, I remember one year that Chicago had 700 murders. And, you know, and you can compare that to 100 bodies in St. Louis. If St. Louis go over 100 murders, they're going to be considered the murder capital. You know what I mean? Chicago has over 700 murders in one year and wasn't considered the murder capital. I think at that time it was D.C.
Yeah, it's per 100,000.
Yeah, it's per 100,000.
Okay.
So the population
matters.
The
so
population is a difference.
If you got St. Louis is a population of, if you take into account the greater St. Louis area, which is about 4 million people, when you include Chesterfield, Wentzville, you know, all them counties that don't want to be included in St. Louis, when you take account of that, that's a nice size number. That's how the Cardinals got their massive TV deal, third biggest deal in all of sports.
Right.
But when you take into account St. Louis City, you know, you're talking about 200,000 people. And when most of your crime happens there, you know, 200 murders can easily get you in the top three.
Right.
So it's just a different beast because you're talking per 100,000.
For sure.
So, and that's how they do every, it's not, they don't do St. Louis like that. They do everybody like that per 100,000.
Right.
So Baltimore City is the same, kind of in the same situation as St. Louis. So you'll always see them. D.C. is the same situation as St. Louis, so you'll always see them. D.C., Baltimore, Newark, New Jersey, also. It's per capita. You know, right. Of course, L.A. has more people. I mean, more people in the city of L.A. than it probably is in the entire state.
I'll tell you this about St. Louis. What makes St. Louis, you know, from what, you know, since I've been here, just maybe a tad bit more dangerous. Think about Chicago, man. You know, all Chicagoans can verify this, man. You know, we're spread it out. So, you know, if you got beef, it's beef. You know, you got to kind of go, you know what I'm saying?
Some counties, you got to drive 40 minutes.
Yeah.
40 minutes, you could be around 270.
Yeah, you know, you got to kind of go, you know, your enemies is 4-5 blocks, you know, or maybe farther than that versus in St. Louis when I moved, came here and they like, yo, we into it with the guys across the street. I'm like,
so
you mean to tell me y'all bloods across the street and Crips?
Right.
Like, it, yeah. you know, so yeah. it was kind of, you know, that's what confused me, you know, because I'm like, hold on, they y'all enemies is like right there. They like, yeah, we
look at y'all can see them from the porch.
That's real.
Yeah, in Chicago, no, you can't see your enemies, you know, unless you just into it with somebody from across the street. But other than that, like, nah, it's
right.
You know, you gotta travel, you know. But you know, it's all in the Midwest, man. You know, I see certain similarities here and there, you know. But you know, Chicago, we got our own culture, and St. Louis has they own. You know, I would say when I first moved to St. Louis, the thing I noticed difference as far as culture-wise was the slang and maybe the music a little bit, you know.
And the driving, I'm sure.
Definitely the driving. Well, yeah, Chicago drive crazy as fuck.
No accidents in Chicago, okay?
Yeah, you'll definitely get your door knocked off, you know what I mean? And
everybody
tell you,
from the old to the young. I'm like, yeah, God damn.
For sure. They drive like maniacs down.
How you be driving, Jay Blunt?
I'm a damn good driver. But I don't drive
like him.
No, I'm not. He
does. Tell us the truth.
I don't know. It depends because my wife and my sister over here, they sometimes when they roll with me, they thought I was driving. My wife think I drive crazy sometimes.
I'll just be trying to get to a destination. That's all.
That's all. I don't think I'm a, you know, baby, am I a crazy driver? No, she say, yeah, she's a lot. But we don't believe her. But no, I think I'm a good driver. I haven't had an accident in years. So I think I'm okay. I think I'm pretty good.
Okay. Well, we have definitely enjoyed having y'all on. Before we start to wrap it up, let them know where they can reach y'all.
You can reach us at on just about every, well, really every streaming service available. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Stitcher, Twitch, anything that you can stream, we're available on.
BDC, the Instagram. Facebook, DDCB, Facebook account. My personal is on IG is someone_under the sun. You can find me on there. Facebook, Jay Blunt, someone under the sun. You can find me on there as well. So we everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I just got one. I'm on Facebook only right now. If you want to hit me up, there's Eric Dunn on Facebook. Instagram, I operate the DDCB Instagram.
Okay.
And really, well, that's about it.
Okay.
Okay, well, for Talk That Talk with Nisha and Bree, y'all can reach us, of course, on Facebook, Talk That Talk with Nisha and Bree. We are on Instagram, talk_that_talk_podcast on Instagram. Email us, talkthattalkpc@gmail.com. Keep sending our stories because we love reading that for sure. And keep sending us your inboxes, answering our questions, you know, just interacting because we love interacting with our followers.
So until next time, bye. Thank y'all for watching and thank y'all for coming on.
Thank
you. We appreciate y'all for inviting us, man. I had a good time tonight, man. I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.